The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Big Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and I am the one who calls this extreme delay. Apologies for that. If you are listening to the podcast, it is likely Tuesday, May 17th. If you are enjoying it on YouTube, it is Monday, May 16th, around 1:13 p.m. in the afternoon. Anyway. Joining me to look at best bets for week one with the lines out thanks to the schedule, the one, the only, RJ White. What's up, buddy?
What's up, Will? I'm excited to get going on that classic start time of 1:13 p.m. for shows. So I know it's a coveted slot for, you know, advertisers, that 1:13 slot. So should be a good show.
They say that the 18 to 35 demo is like really, it really keys in on those odd numbers. So 1:13, a key number there. I feel like I'm every time I've unpacked this, like my audio equipment, if it turns out to be a disaster for me to reboot, like to get everything back together, which should be a surprise to no one. You may also notice that my lighting is not working in my office because I didn't have time to get it up. Anyway, who cares? So the schedule came out last week. And as soon as it did, in fact, even before the schedule came out, RJ, we started getting lines for NFL games in week one. And I mean, it's obviously like a little tricky to bet on week one because we're so far away from the actual football starting. And so many things are going to happen during training, you know, during the offseason, OTAs, training camp. You know, like we don't usually think there'll be a ton of like quarterback injuries, but you never know. What just a general approach to week one? Do you tend to be a little more cautious, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, week one is different from any other week because we get the lines months in advance instead of, you know, 7 days in advance, or, right, you know, if you play the look ahead lines, 12, 13 days. And I think there's actually a lot of opportunities. I mean, you're always going to have injuries that mess things up, but, you know, some of these numbers that are out here are going to be 2, 3, maybe even 4 points off of what we see that, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, right before week one. So, you know, if you can read the market well and you jump on these numbers early, you're going to have a great number. And you can sometimes get, you know, a couple points on either side of a key number and just play it back and you're making money either way. So I think you do want to play some of these lines early, especially the ones where it seems like some things aren't being taken into account. Like we're going to get to the Browns game. But, you know, some of these lines are a little interesting. And I would love to jump on them now. Others, I might wait thinking that the move is going to go, you know, toward the team that I wanted to fade anyway. So I'm just going to try to get a few extra points down the road.
And you've talked about a little bit with as it relates to like betting. I guess we were talking about it sort of in the context of COVID and you know, whether, you know, you wanted to be careful about betting games too early because of, you know, we didn't know what was going to happen with those protocols and maybe leaning towards underdogs. Would you have a preference for dogs, underdogs, as opposed to favorites when you look at week one? Or is it just really more about which line might move which direction?
I think it's more about the lines moving in each direction. I have a preference for underdogs early in the season anyway, because we get a little more certain. We think we're more certain on things than actually is going to happen. The right. NFL, it's unknowable, really. I mean, there's certain teams you know are probably going to be pretty good. There's certain teams you know are probably going to be bad. But there are surprises each year. And, you know, the lines that we see in week one, and once we get to week five and week six, you look back at those week one lines and say, man, if we knew now what we knew then, we wouldn't have made, you know, the Cardinals as big underdogs, you know, when they start out 7-0 last last year or things of that nature. So I think there are ways to attack these lines and go for those underdogs if you can identify the teams that are better than people think.
All right, well, let's dive in. We'll rip through the games, and we don't have to spend a ton of time on each game. But you know, if you have a lean, certainly sort of same format as we do our pick show, but shorter version. Bills Rams at the Thursday night opener, just an outstanding game. You know, your Buffalo Bills getting to play the defending world champion in their house in front of the entire world. The Bills get then 11 days and get the Titans in week two at home on the Monday Night Football doubleheader, which is, not an easy couple of matchups, but very nice to get those two breaks in before those big games. Rams are minus one here with a total of 52.5.
Yeah, the defending champions typically do pretty good in week one, but then again, they're not playing teams as good as the Bills, who are the Super Bowl favorites right now. So you can see why the line is where it is. It seems pretty fair to me. I have Buffalo as 1 point better on a neutral field, so I would probably make this line Rams minus 1.5. So my lean is to the Rams. I'm unsure what we'll get from the Buffalo offense with the ball gone. You know, will they be able to stop the pass rush on the offensive line in this particular matchup is my worry, you know, with how good the Rams have been in that sense. I think Stafford should have success against the Buffalo secondary without Tre'Davious White. He's not going to be back to begin the season. So the Rams will be able to move the ball. We think the Bills will probably be able to move the ball, but if it gets to a point where they're having to throw, I worry about the pass rush just being able to pin their ears back and get after them. So another key stat here is Rams 5-0 straight up and against the spread in week one games under Sean McVay. So I don't know how this line's going to move much. So I don't think you have to jump on it necessarily now. Everybody knows how good the Bills are. It's going to be close to pick them either way. So no hurry to play, but my lean's probably going to be on the Rams.
Yeah, I would go the same direction. And I mean, yeah, if you wanted to pick Buffalo, that's fine. I don't want to say I've been stealing your line about Brian Daboll because I've been crediting you every time I use it. But I think it's like really, really just underrated. I mean, you're talking about a offensive coordinator who's been with this, you know, with Josh Allen for several years. And now you have, it is a transition, even if it's just getting used to how Ken Dorsey's going to call games or Ken Dorsey getting used to calling games. And if you're going to pick a spot to try and, you know, figure that out, like on the fly, like your first game could be a little rocky. You could come out a little slow. I mean, we never know. So I would lean towards the Rams as well. The Ravens at the New York Jets, Baltimore, a 4.5 point road favorite. I mean, I get it. You know, the Ravens are a better team than the Jets, we think. Is there any chance the Jets are one of the surprise teams this year?
I think there is. I mean, there's a lot of love, consensus building around them being an over team on their win total of 5.5. I believe that's the most popular play right now at Caesars on the win totals is over 5.5 for the Jets. So it seems like people are having a little bit of optimism for the Jets. If Baltimore, doesn't get rocked by injuries in August again, this line could inflate because if Baltimore starts looking healthy in August, then the bettors will be like, well, I think Baltimore's definitely a playoff team. The Jets definitely aren't. So I want to be on the Baltimore side. I'm not sure how much we can trust the Baltimore passing game with Bateman as a number one receiver. I mean, Mark Andrews is technically the number one there, obviously, but you need some receivers to throw to as well. Can't just rely on the tight end. I wouldn't be shocked this being a low scoring 2016 type of game. I'm okay taking the points with the Jets. The average team was about 1.6 points better at home. Baltimore was 6 point worse on the road. So they're a lot going on the road last year. They were a lot worse than the typical team. So I think you should play the under here. I think it'll be more of a low scoring game. And as long as Baltimore again doesn't just have a rash of injuries in August.
Yeah, 45.5. That number probably comes down, still sitting there as of today on Caesars. But you think about how much the Jets want to run and how much Baltimore does run, and you figure you could get plenty of moving clocks in this particular game. I would probably lean Baltimore as well if they're healthy. I just don't necessarily. A lot probably depends on how you feel about Zach Wilson and whether or not you think he can, take a big step forward in his second year. I'm certainly a little skeptical, but especially against a team like Baltimore with tons of time to prepare. So I would lean Baltimore. I like that undercall as well. Saints at the Falcons. Saints are a 4 point favorite on the road and in like the most bitter NFC South rivalry there is with a total of 42.5. If Drew Brees comes back, does this line move to Saints minus 5?
Yeah, I don't know if he's coming back.
Saints minus 3.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to expect from the Saints offense without Sean Payton. The defense is probably going to be strong. Atlanta is tied for the worst team in my power ratings. I've already put my preliminary power ratings together to figure out what I would put these lines at.
Who are they tied with?
The Falcons would be tied with the Panthers and the Texans right now. I have them, around seven points worse than average.
That checks out, though. I mean, this is a bad roster.
Yeah, and I don't expect much excitement from the home crowd here because they know it's going to be a bad team, and it's a rebuilding year with what they have at quarterback. They were 1-7 against the spread at home last season, worst in the NFL already. So I like the Saints side of this. That I would make them a best bet at this point in time. You know, one of my top three or four picks. Offense for Atlanta has to prove to me they can backdoor cover with Mariota or Ridder at quarterback before I worry about them storming through the back door. So I expect this line to inflate once we get as we progress through the next few months, and by the time it's in August, late September. It's at 6.5. So I would jump on it now.
Wow. I think that the part of the problem is when we think about Saints Falcons, you know, in my mind, I just traditionally think about a close game between two teams that hate each other. And even when the Saints were much better, the Falcons would get up. And even when the Falcons were better, the Saints would get up and they would always play them tough. But I mean, again, you go back and look at this roster, and if you're picking like building block players for the Saints, I guess you could go with Chris Lindstrom or Caleb McGarry. Well, they picked up one of fifth year option of the 2019 draft first rounders, but not the other. Kyle Pitts, certainly a blue chip guy. Drake London will give, you know, credit for as well. And then it gets a little AJ Terrell too is a blue chip guy, but and like Arnold Ibukidi, second round player, who's, you know, like basically their primary pass rusher off the edge. I mean, it's just not a very good. It's one of the worst rosters in football, and the Saints do not have a bad roster. Our only question is the quarterback position and the coaching setup. And Dennis Allen has shown that he's a, you know, very good defensive coordinator. He's been a head coach before, so he's not going to be learning on the fly. If Ridder beats out Mariota, then I think you have even more questions about the Falcons. So I tend to agree with you. This line has actually moved a half a point since the lines came out, I think, on Thursday or Friday, So if you like the Saints, as RJ does, you would want to take them now. The New England Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. Dolphins -3 at home. This feels very much like a, we're not sure what the Pats will be. We're not entirely sold on Tua. Let's just make it 3 points. Like, you know, the standard, like the old school home field advantage line.
Yeah, but I think this actually reflects a lot of optimism in the Dolphins. This would be the first time the Dolphins would be favored by against the Patriots since week 15 of 2013. So this would be the first time in 9 years that the Dolphins would be favored against the Patriots. They're drawing a lot of buzz after their offseason. Tua is still a big question mark, learning a new system, new coaching staff there. Bill Belichick, 2-7 straight up and against the spread in past 9 road games against the Dolphins. But again, he's favored on all those, and he's not going to be favored in this one. Miami swept the series last year, but New England easily won in total yards in both games, so it's not like they got outplayed. You know, they played well, just didn't win on the scoreboard. That New England offensive coordinator situation is weird, but it's almost certain Mac Jones is going to have continuity with his playbook no matter who's calling plays. So I think he's going to be more comfortable in this offense in year two. I don't think this line goes higher than 3. I don't think anybody wants to give the Patriots that many points. So I like taking New England now, and we'll see if it comes down. But I think 3 is the best we're going to get, and I would lean New England in that sense.
Yeah, 3, you know, the Pats is underdogs when – you know, we have all these questions about Tua, but I don't think I have a ton of questions about Mac Jones. I mean, what kind of ceiling does Mac Jones have? But I feel comfortable with Mac Jones, performing at a fairly high level. And I believe that if you look at Tua's stats, I am having trouble recalling a good game that Tua has performed against Belichick. Am I wrong there? Has he even 16 of 27 for 202, a touchdown and interception last year to start the season? And then 15 to 22 for 109 yards in a win in week 17 last year. So,
and he didn't have to do much in that game. They were ahead, I think, most of the time. So they obviously are going to take the ball to his hands in that sense.
I mean, it is a very, very, new coaching staff, totally different ballgame with Mike McDaniel. But man, I mean, like the 3 times that he's played against New England, because he did not play in the first game in week 1 in 2020. I mean, his top yardage total was 202 yards. Like, he's never hit 30 passing attempts against Belichick, and I think that was probably by design. Wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins do sort of something similar. And yeah, with Leon Pats getting the points because, you know, like a principal play with Belichick. The Cleveland Browns are headed to play the Carolina Panthers in week 1 in Charlotte, and the Browns are 4.5-point favorites now. I believe that they were – actually, it did open at 4.5, and the total there – 43.5. I would guess that obviously everything hinges on Deshaun Watson. I mean, I was talking with Nick Costas, our former coworker. I was doing You Better You Bet, his show last week. And when these lines popped out, it was like, I guess Browns -4.5, assuming Watson plays. What's the line if Watson doesn't play? Because he has to be worth a lot of points to the spread, drop off to Jacoby Brissett, but like you can't make the Panthers favorites here, right?
Yeah, it seems a little bit of a hedge to me. I think if he doesn't play, I have the Browns as 2 points worse than average. I said I had the Panthers as tied for the worst team in the league. So you factor in home field advantage for Carolina's unique home field advantage number that I have. And I would put this line around 3. So this seems a little high to me if you think that Watson is going to be suspended in week 1. So the market doesn't know or is leaning toward he's not. I'm leaning toward he is. So I think Carolina is the best bet right now at 4.5 because, you know, with Brissett on the road, that Browns team is just going to go out and run the ball. Not going to let him throw much. They don't really have a ton of weapons in the passing game anyway. So I would look to play the under, you know, if you think that Watson's going to be out and the Browns are just going to run the ball and the clock's going to chew up and the Panthers aren't going to do much on the offensive side against that Browns defense. The Browns are 0-16-1 straight up in the past 17 season openers and 5-12 against the spread. So if the Browns do go out with Brissett on the road in this game with that hanging over them, you know, they could easily get upset, even if the Panthers are a bad team, because they just can't get it done. This is following this franchise around. We'll see when Baker Mayfield gets traded, because if Baker's still on the roster and they deactivate him because they don't want to get him hurt and they're trying to trade him still. And I mean, it could be just a complete mess there. So I would lean to the Panthers here.
Yeah, it probably boils down to whether you like what you think Watson's going to play or not. Here's the thing. The NFL has no interest, 0.0% interest in going into the 2022 season with still trying to figure out the Deshaun Watson situation. Like, they don't want Deshaun Watson appearing in 2 primetime games and everyone talking about, well, the NFL is allowing him to play even though he's still under investigation. I mean, they will probably, you know, I think they will rush the investigation and make an issue a ruling before the season versus allowing Deshaun Watson to play with the investigation and just the 22 sexual allegation lawsuits pending over his head. So I would take the Panthers here as well, because I think that we'll get news about Watson. The line will come off the board and the Panthers, I mean, maybe it's Browns minus 2, but maybe it's a pick 'em. That's a ton of value though. At 4.5, you're talking about a home team. Should be a decent crowd, and they're going up against potentially a team led by, Jacoby Brissett. All right. Steelers at Bengals. The Bengals are a 6-point favorite against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pretty wild to see that written down, but not all that illogical given that Cincinnati was just won the AFC and Pittsburgh is going to be either using Mitchell Trubisky or Kenny Pickett. I would guess Kenny Pickett, but I'm not sure. That probably 6 half-dozen here, honestly.
Yeah, what a world where the Bengals are laying 6 points against the Steelers in week 1. But that's obviously, like you said, a condition of the quarterback situation. Pittsburgh offense might be on par with Carolina's considering their quarterback situation and their offensive line. Like, I don't have any faith in them at all. They have a good running back, so does Carolina. So I don't know what they're going to do offensively. Their defense can keep them in games, but that's going to be much easier to do if they get an early lead. And this is going to be a tough team, I think, to get early leads against with how explosive they are. Can put points on the board in the first half. Since he did a good job addressing the offensive line, had an underrated defense last year, I think they win this game easily. My lean's to the Bengals, but I don't think there's a rush to play it.
Yeah. I don't know that Mitchell Trubisky or Kenny Pickett makes a big difference. And I don't think this will go over 7. Like, I don't think they'll one of the things I think that we've seen sort of from these week 1 lines too is an inclination, if possible, to like stay at 2.5 or stay at like 5.5, like stay at 5.5 or 6.5. You know, like, they don't want to push it past those key numbers, if possible. In certain, like, you don't want to give the Steelers 7. I'm a little surprised they're giving the Pats 3. But yeah, there we are. I think the under's 44. What did it open at? Opened at 44. So it actually hadn't moved. I'm a little surprised. I mean. Yeah, I don't know. I want to see this, but I need to see the Pittsburgh offense and how they look in training camp before I even think about this. The 49ers at the Bears. This line is actually a 6-point. The 49ers are 6-point road. We don't even know who's starting at quarterback for the 49ers. We assume probably Trey Lance if Jimmy Garoppolo is traded or cut, but they're 6-point favorites at the Bears, probably because the Bears did absolutely nothing this offseason to suggest that they actually like Justin Fields.
And the 49ers were big favorites last year on the road in week 1. They played the Lions, and they were 7.5-point favorites. Got bet up right before the game started. Closed at 9. I believe it landed on 8. So if you got the right number, you know, that was right around where it should be.
And I'm hoping the Lions were like borderline going to, like, didn't they storm back, and then like the 49ers somehow like had a miracle cover. It was wild.
Yeah. The Lions did, yeah, because the Lions were not in that game at all, and they came back and covered and got the 8 if you got it on the closing number. I hope Lance is announced as the starter and Chicago takes action and drives the line down because people don't know what they're going to get with Lance. But I think if Shanahan is going with Lance and he's the starter, he's already built a dynamic offense around him that it's going to be impossible to be ready for in week one. You're going to have to get some tape on it. He's not going to show it to you in August, obviously. So I think they could come out and just run roughshod over the Bears with that unit, in week one. Chicago seems like a team with Fields and a new coaching staff that'll be better later in the season. They'll need some time to get going. I'm likely going to want to be on the San Francisco side here, but like I said, hopefully some announcements, some news come out, and we'll get a better number and it'll drop to 4.5 or 4 before we have to play San Francisco.
I mean, don't you think that the uncertainty surrounding Trey Lance and just sort of last year is going to make people a little hesitant to back the 49ers out of the gate?
Right. They'll want to see before they believe. So if he does announce that he's the starter, people are going to go, well, he didn't play much last year. And when he did, I wasn't convinced. So, they could be a little rusty out the gate. But I think that the offense just changes dramatically if he's your quarterback versus Jimmy Garoppolo. So you just can't prepare for it. So whatever they throw out against the Bears, it's going to be hard for them to stop defensively. And I don't think they'll have the offense to keep up, considering San Francisco has such a good defense.
You said it was Carolina, Atlanta, and Houston that were dead last in your power rankings tied. I can't imagine the Bears are that much higher than those teams.
Yeah, I have the Bears right now as 4 points worse than average, so actually a decent amount better. I just think that I like their quarterback situation better than some other teams, like the Giants, Jets, on that list. I think there are teams on this list that are going to move up. I think Jacksonville is better than we think. I have them at 6.5 points worse than average, but going into week one, you can't make them 4 or 3 points. So right now I have the Bears with the Seahawks right now at 4 points worse than average. That's around, I believe, the 23rd, 24th ranked team.
Okay. So, they're down there. I think a few weeks in, you're going to look at I think the Bears will be behind Jacksonville and, certainly. Let me see. I guess Seattle too. Seattle's just weird. But they added the two second round picks are probably potential starters on defense. You look at this roster. They just don't have a lot. Just don't have a lot going for them. And they didn't really do a whole lot to make you believe that they want to Justin Fields to improve. So I would look at San Francisco here for sure. The aforementioned Jaguars are headed to have a bright red logo at Caesars for the Jaguar. Weird. Heading to Washington, where there is no logo, to play the Commandos, Carson Wentz and company. It's hilarious that Carson Wentz, the NFL's scheduling sense of humor is just amazing. Carson Wentz loses in week 18 to the Jaguars with the Colts last year, which causes him to be booted from the Colts, cast off into Washington, and now the NFL is allowing Jacksonville, now coached by Carson Wentz's old coach, Doug Peterson, to come into Washington and be his first game with the Commanders. Do you think he has will have a PTSD coming off of this Jaguars matchup? I think Jacksonville's a good spot here, personally.
Yeah, if Wentz is bad, shouldn't these be similarly rated teams? I mean, yep. Trevor Lawrence is better than Wentz right now, talent-wise. And that team's not going to be as dysfunctional as it was last year, obviously, with a professional coach in place. We also know Washington's home field is never great. So this line right now thinks that Washington is a significantly better team than Jacksonville, and I don't think they are. I think they're pretty close. So you can't overrate having a competent coaching staff in place. So this feels like a low-scoring field goal type of game. Love catching 4.5. I think Washington should be at best 2.5-point favorites, but probably even a little bit lower than that.
Yeah. I think we're probably really – I don't think the Jaguars are necessarily a good football team, but I think we're probably drastically underrating just how much of a leap Trevor Lawrence can take with a guy like Doug Peterson coaching him versus Urban Meyer. Absolutely want to take Jacksonville here at anything more than that, that key number 3. Philly at Detroit. Philly -3.5 at the Lions. This is actually the exact – we talked about this. Costas and I were trying to predict what the spread would be, and I almost guessed. I was almost like, all right, it'll just be the same line as it was last year when Philly went into Detroit and absolutely blitzkrieged them, 44-16 or something like that. The last game before Philly's bye, you like him as a 3.5-point favorite here with the against the Fighting Dan Campbells.
It was actually 44-6, and Philly had lost 5 of their previous 6 games coming into that week, and then they just went out and did
that. Everybody was on the Lions for that game. Everybody.
Yeah, it showed you that. And that was kind of the first inkling that Philly had a good coaching staff in place that was willing to adjust on the fly, change up their offensive philosophy, and do what they need to do to win games, which I love, being versatile and being adaptable on as a coaching staff, rather than saying this is what we do and we're just going to out execute everyone. You know, just do what you need to do to win. And if you have the horses in place to do that, that's great. I think Detroit's going to be better this year. This is really about the market undervaluing Philly to me. I like Philly. 3.5 is a best bet to start the year here. This line only makes sense if you think Philly's an average team, but I think they're better than that. Love what the coaching staff showed last year. And then you talk about all the talent they added, you know, in the draft, in this offseason. I have them with a 3-point better than average rating. They were 7-3-1 against the spread last year against non-playoff teams. So you're going to hear a lot over the next few months about Philly kind of like beat up on these non-playoff teams, but then you play the playoff teams and they were bad. So they're one of those good, bad teams or bad, good teams, however you think about it. But we know Detroit's not going to be a playoff team, so they should beat up on them again. I think it's likely this goes to 4 than 3. So I'm fine laying the hook right now. I don't think we're going to get a 3.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Eagles are a good football team. I can't believe they're still plus 200 or more to win the division. Like if you're getting 2-1 to win the NFC East, go take that, please. Like they got a lot better this offseason relative to how Dallas improved. Indy at Houston, huge divisional. Feel free to agree or disagree with that NFC East take. Indy at Houston, the Colts are 7.5-point road favorites against a division rival to start the season.
Yeah, I think it's a fair line if you just look at their ratings and how the strengths of these teams. I would only look to take the points with a huge home dog in week 1. So, you know, this could be a sense where the Indy blows them out, but I just can't lay this many points. Not knowing, having so many unknowables in week 1 going into the season. You know, I'm pretty aggressive with Indy's rating. I only got this 2.5, so I think the line is correct. But I had to be aggressive with these teams being, like I said, Houston tied for the worst in the league. Other people might not think they are as bad as an Atlanta or a Carolina. And then Indy, like I said, I think is going to be pretty good. So I think this feels similar to San Fran and Detroit last year. That late steam closed out at 9, like we were talking about. And at that point, I'll probably look to play Houston back. Interesting thing about the Colts is they lost 8 straight season openers, and they're 0-6-1 against the spread in their last 7 season openers. So they do not do well in week 1. And Frank Reich's been around long enough that you can attribute a lot of that to him. Remember, they got upset by Jacksonville, and then Jacksonville went on to lose this 15 games, whatever year that was, a couple of years back. Right. So you just can't, I don't know that you can trust them in week 1. New quarterback in play. Probably going to take some time to gel. So I think Houston's probably the right side here, but I don't think you have to rush to get it. We might be able to get a little bit better line later down the road.
Yeah, and also, like, you know, if you want to bet on this game, keep an eye on how Davis Mills performs in offseason and, you know, what kind of hype we're getting out of there. You know, there'll be plenty of like, oh, Matt Ryan is changing everything in Indy, blah, 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 blah. But watch how Mills performs, and maybe that will shift the line a little bit. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, more week 1 lines.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
So, the Giants at the Tennessee Titans. The Titans are a 6.5-point favorite against a newly coached Brian Daboll Giants football team. Tennessee in, like, sort of this weird transition spot. You know, they trade A.J. Brown. They draft Desmond Ridder. Who, like, if Ryan Tannehill wasn't dealing with that contract, I don't think people would be hyping – not Desmond Ridder. They draft Malik Willis, excuse me. I don't think people would be hyping up the idea of bringing Willis as much as they are. But very clearly – there's some sort of larger picture stuff, transition stuff happening with Tennessee.
Yeah, who knows how that pass game looks in week 1 without A.J. Brown. He was such a key piece to it. Robert Woods was brought in. He's expected to be healthy for week 1. He's going to have to prove that in August. You know, we'll see how he looks. And if he is healthy, this line probably gets to 7. People were going to remember the end of last season, how much of a train wreck the Giants were. But that was the coaching staff completely giving up on them. They just weren't trying to win games. They would just hand it off and run into the middle of the line. They weren't even calling plays, I don't think, with Joe Judge. Giants are 0-5 straight up and against the spread in their past 5 season openers. But again, this is a new regime, new GM, new coaching staff. I I like this coaching staff. I think they're going to be better this year than they have been in the past. So I would want to be on the Giants here. But, you know, I think it might take a little time for them to gel, especially with how many additions they made to the offensive line. So probably a good underplay here for me. I'm thinking that the Titans offense isn't going to be great if you can, you know, hone in on Derrick Henry and just stop him. And then you don't expect that Ryan Tannehill to Robert Woods and Treylon Burks is going to beat you. They're probably not going to score a ton of points. So I would probably play the under here. My lean is to the Giants. I don't think there's a rush on this one either.
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee, I got killed during the show with Breach talking about the schedule, and people were like, the disrespect you're showing to Tennessee is outrageous. And I'm like, look, I like the Titans. I've always liked the Titans. I've been like, I feel like I've been ahead of the curve on backing the Titans, but I mean, man, like you trade AJ Brown and Derrick Henry's all busted up and Ryan Tannehill's didn't get a new contract. It's going to have Malik Willis biting at his heels. I mean, it's a lot to be concerned about with Tennessee. That's a lot of points. Las Vegas at Los Angeles, the Chargers. The Chargers are -4 hosting the Raiders. That actually feels a little light to me. A total here, 49.5.
Yeah, if you remember from our futures talk, I was very high on the Chargers this year. But I don't want to underrate Vegas either. Making the playoffs last year amidst all the turmoil speaks to the talent on that roster and speaks to Derek Carr as a quarterback. I know we've had our fun going after him in the past, but he's really been a really good quarterback in this league for several years now. And I think with the pieces they put in place around him, they could have a really special year this year that what people aren't expecting talking about the Chiefs and Chargers. So I think that Vegas offense has a potential to hang with anyone. And that Chargers D struggled mightily last year. We thought they were going to be good with the new coach being a defensive minded coach, and they just gave up points like a ton. So by the ton. So they brought in more talent. They're going to be better on defense this year. This feels like a back and forth game to me. One team wins by 2 or 3 points, you know, just going back and forth, and then a late field goal wins it at the end. So if you're going to give me 4, I'm going to take those points because I think this line probably should be 3 or 3.5.
All right. A little higher on the Raiders maybe than I thought you would. The Chargers are going to be another preseason like darling of NFL media people and various fans who like, you know, want to buy futures on them. Herbert, of course, you know, under sub 20-1, maybe sub 15-1 to win MVP. The Chargers had all these players, lots of headlines. They are still the Chargers though. So be wary of that factor. Chiefs at the Cardinals. Chiefs are a 3-point road favorite against Arizona with a total that is actually, no, it was, somebody told me it was 56. It was 54 now. Maybe it's 56 in other places. It's a big, big number. But these are two teams that, you know, with certain questions on defense and potentially explosive offenses, even with the departure of Christian Kirk from Arizona and Tyreek Hill going to Miami.
Yeah, with Hopkins out and the drama around Kyler, too, I expect this line probably inflates people who want to be on Kansas City here. I'm not worried about the Murray situation, and I like that Arizona's gotten out to hot starts in the last few years under Cliff Kingsbury. I still have Kansas City as one of the top teams in the NFL without Tyreek. I put him 6 points better than average just with that quarterback and coaching staff. I still think there's value on Arizona at this number. And I think I'm probably higher on Arizona than the market is. So once this gets above 3, I'm going to look to jump on Arizona. If it's still 3 in September, I might still play Arizona. But I think it's going to go up.
Okay, there you go. Look, the Chiefs, I think it's probably a little bit of Kyler Murray, you know, the concern about, Kyler Murray's going to sign a contract in the next like 3 months, and it's just not going to be a big deal after that he, you know, deleted the freaking Cardinals from his Instagram, which is just the stupidest thing in the world. Green Bay Packers at the Minnesota Vikings. Green Bay -1.5 now. I believe that actually opened as a pick'em. Oh, no. Debo had 1.5 on last week. Never mind. I saw it was a pick'em somewhere. I like the Packers a lot here. New coaching staff in Minnesota. Yeah, the offense should be a lot better than what Mike Zimmer had, but you know they're gonna, you know, you'll be learning the offense, and they built that whole offensive line was basically built like designed to run a Kubiak style system. Not that Kevin O'Connell's would be like, you know, it's not like drastically different. Like there are definitely some concepts that work with it, but I just sort of wonder how that may affect this running game. I like the Packers, and I think there's a Davante Adams factor at play here too, even though Aaron Rodgers has been very good without Adams on this team.
Yeah, people are worried about Adams. Otherwise, this line would be bigger. Minnesota's underperformed in Zimmer's last few years. I don't think that turns around in week one, no matter who the coaching staff is. Again, like I love the Giants coaching staff now, but I'm not necessarily thinking they're going to come out and destroy the league in week one. You know, I think it's going to take time. Rodgers' worst game last year was week one. And, you know, with those major questions about the receiver core, I don't think this line inflates a ton. But even without Adams, you know, like you said, he's had success without him. I expect him to take care of what's going to be a new coaching staff, get a win pretty easily here. You know, even if the Vikings can come back, this line is low enough that you're not too worried about a backdoor here. So I like the Packers minus 1.5 as well.
Yep. That would be a best bet for me. And I think that this line actually, I don't know if it gets the Packers minus 3, but you know, you can get the money line now and it's a pretty good, like, I mean, let's see what the money line is actually. That thing I lost. I clicked on the wrong thing because I'm an idiot, which happens often around these parts.
I got him at minus 125 right now.
Yeah, just bet the money line. Like, I think the Packers are going to find a way to win. I mean, you know, or if you want to bet, lay the 1.5, whatever. Anywho, I'm somehow like drifted into like an entirely different week. There we go. I got it now. They completely changed up their order. How fun! This is a disaster now. Do we have the two primetime games left? Is that right?
Just the two primetime, yeah.
Okay, just making sure I didn't miss anything. But Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Dallas Cowboys. Bucks. I was shocked by this line. It opened, I think, Bucks minus 3, maybe 2.5 at Caesars. I can't, like, the Cowboys almost beat the Bucks last year. And I know the Cowboys haven't had a great offseason, but it's in Dallas. And the Bucks are were 2.5-3 favorite. That seems like a lot. Over under 52, hefty.
And then go toe-to-toe with them in week one. So it's the same situation. You know, you're going to be prepared, same coaching staff. Almost won in Tampa. Now it's in Dallas. I agree. This is the biggest gap between the Vegas line and my ratings. I had this line 4 points off. I would make Dallas minus 1.5 in this game, even knowing how good Tampa Bay is, because Dallas was good last year too. And I know, again, division, they play some easy teams. The line treats them like they're you know, an above-average team instead of a good team. They were number one in DVOA last year, number two in point differential. I feel better about them this year, going into this year than I did last year when they almost beat the Bucks in week one because of how well the defense performed. That looked like a special unit last year. And I feel worse about Tampa Bay going into this season without Bruce Arians. I think he's, you know, an exceptional coach. You can't win the Super Bowl without a good coach. And you know, he deserves a lot of credit for what he did there. I don't think they just keep rolling. Tom Brady, you know, it covers a lot of ills, so I don't think they're going to be bad or anything, but I don't think you can just assume the Bucks are head and shoulders above the Cowboys enough to make them 2.5-point favorites on the road in this matchup. So love the Cowboys right here. Best bet of week one right now is Dallas plus 2.5.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I mean, it's like Dallas should just be favored at home, you know, for an opener. Like, I mean, do I like the Bucks to be a better team over the course of the season than Dallas? Absolutely. But Dallas almost beat the Bucks last year in Tampa as an 8.5-point dog. Give me the Cowboys as a best bet as well. And finally, the Denver Broncos at the Seahawks. Russell Wilson. I mean, again, this NFL schedule makers just an incredible sense of humor. They are sending Russell Wilson to his old home, Monday Night Football. Broncos minus 3.5, a total of 41.5. Not a really inspiring case for Drew Lock from Vegas there.
Yeah, great storyline. Not sure it's going to be a great game. I think it's a fair line at 3.5. We'll see if Seattle does anything different at quarterback. You say Drew Lock. I mean, Geno Smith might be the number one quarterback. We just don't know at this point. There's going to be a bunch of people backing Russ on the day of the game here. They'll lose their money in week one. They'll all want to be on the Broncos on Monday of week one. So I think we might get some decent value on Seattle if you wait until Monday, you know, day of the game. So I'll wait to see what number I can get Seattle at. I think this could be a close, low-scoring game. I know 41.5 is a low over-under. We see unders tend to come in early in the season anyway, so I wouldn't mind playing under 41.5 even at that number. And I'll probably be playing under in a lot of Seahawks games unless they, you know, get a good quarterback and look amazing on offense. But I think they're going to be a run the ball and play defense type of team that you're going to want to be on unders on.
Yeah, I agree. I could agree with that more. So what's the implied team total here then?
Let's see. So you split it in half. It is about 21 on each side. So you're looking at what, 23 and 18-ish, so 22, 19, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I'd probably look at the Seahawks team total under two. I mean, you know, unless they're just getting trounced in this game and have to keep coming back, I think what they are going to do all season long is what you mentioned, but it's not even like run the ball. and play defense. I mean, I think that's what they're going to try to do. But I also think they sort of realize the only way they're going to win games is by just muddling up games, like turning these games into slow pace slogs, low scoring affairs where they can sort of steal one late in. And they're going to start it out heavy in week one by not wanting to give Russell Wilson the ball and chances to carve up that defense's secondary in his old stomping ground. So I agree.
Yes, as few possessions as possible. That's going to be the mantra for every Seahawks game. Let's put as few possessions as possible into this game and get it to where, you know, random variance plays more of a factor. You know, a good bounce of the ball here or there, we can win some of these games.
So 2011, because I think this is a good example. 2011, the first year, or the last year without Russell Wilson, Seattle averaged 20.1 points per game, right? They only gave up 19.7, which is seventh in the NFL, but they gave up, they scored 20.1, 23rd in the NFL. And then in 2010, 2010 was the Matt Hasselbeck year. 2011 was the Tavares Jackson year. They averaged, in 2010, they averaged 19.4 points per game. So we have a history of Pete Carroll without Russell Wilson operating these sloggy games and just being willing to try and steal games late. And they're just a different team offensively without Russell Wilson. I expect that to revert to pre-Russell Wilson norms with him gone and Drew Lock in there. That was just a rant about the Seahawks not scoring 8 points. I don't really think it was a question. All right. You know, the week one thoughts before we get out of here.
No, you know, like we said at the top, you know, there is value to be had on these teams, especially when you can see that they're going to move one way or the other. There are games that I like here that I wouldn't play now because I expect to get better numbers. There are games that I would play now that I might not necessarily like as much, thinking that I'm just, the value's too good. And you know, in when we get to September 5th or 8th or whatever, then I might reevaluate this game differently and play bigger going back the other way.
Yep, I agree completely. Make sure and, subscribe, rate, and review. Take this advice so you can get these best bets in early. Lock down some best good lines and come back and get a window. Maybe we'll win both. Thanks for all the time, RJ. Of course, you're always the best. Thanks for everybody who listened, for watching. We'll be back tomorrow, of course. Never-ending daily NFL podcast here on CBS Sports. Pick Six Podcast for RJ. I'm Brinson. We'll talk to you guys later.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.